Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the dominion of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you have not also had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Not seven times, but I tell you, Jesus says, 77 times. Or in other places, as it's rendered, even 70 times seven. 77 times. Perhaps Jesus' statement recognizes that within our lives, our hearts, our minds, we replay forgiveness over multiple times in our lives. When old stories or old hurts or slights come up, we reaffirm forgiveness in our hearts, our souls, our minds. Or consider it from the perspective of receiving forgiveness. Are there not times or incidents in your lives that you really wish you had not done, for which you ask for forgiveness, for which it may cross your minds to ask forgiveness each day? In your heart anyway, even while it may have already been forgiven. We live with past events, and we live in the daily blessing of forgiveness. Perhaps in that sense, forgiveness is a process, or a living reality which touches your life not just once, but many times, even 77. But here is what forgiveness 77 times cannot be. And now I'm thinking of our current events, trying to place our reflections on them in the context of this story. Once again, we are in turmoil at another black man being killed by police. Forgiveness in that context cannot be repeatedly allowed. Deadly events cannot keep happening. Although we know that sadly it has been more than 77 times, more than 70 times 7. In our lesson today, the ruler intervened immediately when it was clear that his servant offered, who received forgiveness from him, only use that forgiveness to go out and abuse another. The king immediately intervened. So forgiveness does not condone, nor is it licensed for, the abuse of others. So while Jesus is eternally forgiving, he is also always standing with victims against the actions of those who would overwhelm or harm the little ones, the powerless, the marginalized. What happened with the first bureaucrat, and really we have to think of the king's running things and he's got all sorts of folks under him. Sometimes they're called slave servants. It's really a bunch of bureaucrats. But what happened with the first bureaucrat in the ruler's court is that he refused true forgiveness in the first place. That one time that it was freely given. So there is actually no question of 70 times 7 until the offender at least accepts that once, that first time. The free gift of forgiveness assumes transformation. It communicates transformation. It's offered for life, not to enable further deadly abuse of others. In our parable's case, the unforgiving bureaucrat never accepted forgiveness himself. He only saw it as getting over on the ruler. He did not even receive the essential gift of forgiveness because his heart was hard. I think one could say with my teachers, Ed and Bob Bertram, no faith, no forgiveness. No trust, no forgiveness. The bureaucrat certainly did not want to go to jail, but he in no way felt the need to true repentance. It was really for him a matter of who had the power, not so much a matter of the heart. The truth is, in this situation, neither the king nor the servant appear to approach forgiveness as a matter of the heart, both failing Jesus' instruction to forgive from the heart. So, the ruler himself, his actions are called into question. For if the threat of jail did not work in the first place, how is torture for however long going to affect repentance? We might ask, I might ask you to reflect in your hearts and minds, does the threat of eternal torture move you to forgiveness from the heart? Is that the way it works? Perhaps the Joseph story is instructive. With their father dead, the brothers, now you remember the story, they had sold decades ago their own brother into slavery, figured that now, Joseph might get even. He'd only forgiven them the first time because the father was living. But Joseph forgives them again. How many times does he forgive in his heart, do you think? Enough that it is beyond question to him any longer. Countless, we might say. Joseph's heart has totally turned from revenge, and his brothers' hearts have turned from their animosity toward him. Not a bad vision for the realm or community of God. And with this story, Genesis ends. Genesis ends with reconciliation and forgiveness, a vision for the Israelites to carry into the promised land, a good vision for us to carry into our own land. For we still struggle as a nation which has sold its sisters and brothers into slavery. What would constitute a collective and comprehensive turn away from racism and violence toward the other? In the streets, in the hearts of folks, this deep loss of death cries out for reconciliation. Was one civil war enough? One civil rights movement? 7 times? 77 times? 70 times 7? The events around the latest trial concerning the killing of a black man, again, reminds us that daily we encounter personally and systemically, nationally, calls to be merciful, to be reconciled, to ask for forgiveness from those we have enslaved as much as it takes. Sadly, as a nation, we are scandalized as a society that it will take that many times. People want it to be over. We say that was in the past. That's history. But Jesus is calling us 70 times 7. It's a complete turning, daily, spiritually, politically, economically. And if not, what could be worse than the violence, the distrust, the polarization that exists among us today? I don't think this is the Lord's torture, but it is the judgment we create for ourselves that is allowed. Still, as we gather this day, in the context of all of these things, we live in hope. We live in forgiveness and the promise of new life from the one who forgave always from the heart and stood with victims of unforgiving violence, who was tortured himself to death by a world of unforgiving power and violence over the neighbor, but who did not seek revenge in return, but rose in God's power and love to offer once more and eternally forgiveness and reconciliation, and who empowers us this day, transforms us now and forevermore to forgive from the heart. Brothers and sisters, be reconciled, be the Reformation. Amen.